hello and welcome to a very special edition, Steve, 150 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. I'm hoping to get stuck into it once the football season ends. That's one of my jobs. My name is sports journalist and sometime Formula One correspondent Michael Bailey, and in this podcast, we are going to preview the 2017 Chinese Grand Prix. Joining me on the pod for tonight's F1 fun once again will be David Tillier, motoring journalist, once we ring him up, and, as I mentioned a moment ago, current Prediction League champion and our old school F1 champion, Steve Rust. You're laughing. I got a laugh at you that time. That's good to see. Steve, given in reality it's about 3 minutes since I last spoke to you, is still okay?
Yeah, still fine.
Are you looking forward to watching a race?
I am, actually, because I haven't watched one, obviously, since the last race of the season, which is now, I don't know, four months, something like that. I don't know. So it feels like the first race of the season to me. So, yeah, very much looking forward to settling into that.
What are you expecting then? Because they said you didn't get to take in, you've seen 6 minutes of highlights of the Australian Grand Prix.
I mean, this is a sort of a very strong circuit for Lewis Hamilton in general, whatever car he's been in. I mean, obviously, it's been a strong circuit for Mercedes over the last three seasons, but then arguably probably all of them have been, because they've been so dominant. But I think I would probably expect something fairly similar to the last race, or what I know of it, you know, where I think Mercedes are a little bit on the back foot with a tyre degradation problem until they get it sorted, and Ferrari are pretty much there or thereabouts, chasing pretty quickly behind for the victory. I think it'll probably be much the same.
I was going to say that the tyre issues really do play into Ferrari's hands somewhere like this, don't they? Because that's going to make up for what is probably a very slight shortfall in genuine pace.
Because, I didn't think before the season started that Ferrari would have the pace to beat Mercedes on a Saturday. But I did think that their race pace looked very strong. But then I did also think that Mercedes from testing looked very strong race pace. And I was quite surprised to find that they had an issue with sort of tyre degradation, which they've alluded to with the car being too heavy and thus not being able to play around with the sort of onboard ballast to get the handling right. So, it gives it some great racing rather than, you know, a sort of repeat of the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, are we a fan of the China? Do you like this circuit? Do you like this race? Because it is now a slightly earlier slot, isn't it, as well, in the calendar? It's now second in, which is quite early, and it sat quite nicely where it was before. I don't know if we get the best out of it now it's second, but it doesn't matter. Probably doesn't really matter.
Well, once upon a time, it was right near the end of the season, wasn't it? It's always shifted around a bit. I mean, I don't know what difference that means. I don't know what the sort of weather conditions are out there compared to where it was before and what have you, but I don't know whether that increases the chances of maybe some rain being more at the start of the season, because Malaysia used to be, that's chopped and changed, hasn't it?
Well, because that's now at the other end of the calendar, so it's,
there was 1 year they had at the start and it was a complete washout, and I think the race got red flagged several times and then they moved it to the end, and I think sort of China was like that for similar reasons, I think, because, I mean, it's all out in the Far East, isn't it? So I don't know, you know, I mean, might get a wet race, or the first wet race of the season at least.
And it'll just be interesting that such a power circuit is thrust at these teams when they've only had Australia, which is slightly different. It's a street circuit, of course. Yeah, it's a very different situation. It'll be interesting, maybe that will lend itself to a little bit more unpredictability. We'll have to see. Only man to win the Chinese Grand Prix 4 times, Steve, is?
Lewis Hamilton.
Only 3 constructors have won the Grand Prix in China more than once.
I'd suppose probably McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull.
Mercedes rather than Red Bull. But you got McLaren. That was one I wasn't expecting. But maybe I'm just lost on how bad McLaren are now.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, in all-time history, they're still the second most successful team. It's hard to believe that after the last, well,
3-4?
Well, longer. It depends. Well, yeah, I mean, probably back to 2012. This was sort of the last time that they were actually sort of podium sort of contention team. But so, yeah, I mean, history shows that they're a successful team, but not at the moment.
There was an April Fool's post on Facebook that said McLaren confirm Honda exit. And I assumed it was real, because that isn't an April Fool.
That is real.
I mean, we're talking about serious. And maybe it wasn't a Facebook. Maybe it wasn't April Fool. They were just getting in there early. Fake news.
Yeah, I've seen rumours that I read on one of the sites that they've in talks with Mercedes to do potentially a sort of an interim deal. You know, with a view to being permanent, and also in talks with, I think it's Renault as well. You'd think Mercedes would be the first choice, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if midway through the season that they cut ties. It really wouldn't.
At the same time, I think there was a story from Sauber, wasn't there, saying that Sauber consider Honda or Mercedes engines. I mean, cool. That'd be a long. You'd have to think very hard about that one, wouldn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I thought it was a misprint. I thought, why would you be considering between a fantastic engine to one that's just been a complete joke? You know, if it just said that they were pondering over a Mercedes engine, because it was Ferrari they're currently with, yeah. Isn't it? I thought it was a misprint.
It's funny how I used to criticise the watch engine for needing winding up and TikTok and all that sort of stuff, and yeah, but Tagger and I think. I think Honda would be nice if they could actually get their engine wound up in the first place. I think it's time we ring David Tillier, so shall we try that again? It worked quite well last time.
Hello.
I think you answered that as if you didn't know who it was, or did you know who that was, DT?
No, that was a hello.
Welcome back to the pod, or to the next pod. Obviously, it's days after we last spoke to you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm live and not in person.
Are you still eating chicken?
No, chicken is all is safely tucked away in my tum.
I hope it's digested by now. Anyway, we are, of course, previewing the Chinese Grand Prix. I've got two questions here. Now, I didn't feel it was fair to ask, Steve, because you didn't watch the race in Australia. So these are for you, DT. China, what's going to be different?
I think Mercedes are going to come back strong.
Oh.
I think they've... From the sounds of things, they've highlighted a couple of points where they feel they can improve. So I think they'll come back fighting, but I still think it's going to be a solid battle between Vettel and Hamilton. I think they're going to be there or thereabouts. So I think Hamilton will come out on top this time, but I think. I think there's going to be another close battle. I think it'll be a good watch.
Sounds it. I think we're all hopeful of that. Okay, and the other one, what's going to be the same?
It's so hard to predict because we've only had one race, so form is really difficult to predict. And also, Australia generally tends to throw up a few interesting results. I mean, just think back to 2016. Julian Palmer looked like he was going to be on to a great season. And it was a bit lackluster after that.
A little bit.
So there were some interesting things we saw, which we may not see again. In terms of staying the same, I'm hoping for things like Force India and Haas to remain quick and strong. It'd be quite nice to see them keeping up with some of the bigger teams. And actually, I think Perez came out this week and said actually they were punching above their weight in Australia.
Yeah, I'll touch on that because I think he also said that Williams are too far ahead for them to catch at the moment. And I'm not really I was genuinely surprised Felipe Massa had such a good race in Australia. Are you surprised by what Williams have done? I thought they were going to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, testing didn't look particularly exciting. The car definitely doesn't look all that exciting. And Lance Stroll has definitely got a way to go in terms of his sort of overall performance and reliability as a driver. So, yeah, I would say from my perspective that Force India looked like the stronger package overall. But, you know, I'm just an average bloke, what do I know?
How dare you, DT? You would never have anyone call you an average bloke. I did ask Steve this as well. The slot for the Chinese Grand Prix, now that it's second in the calendar, what does that do? Does it make things a little bit more unpredictable, do you think?
I don't know, because you've got to do these races anyway. The only difference normally when they change where they fall in the calendar generally tends to be affected by weather. But I don't know whether or not China is that much different this time of the year than it would have been in its previous slot. So
I feel like we need to get a handle on what the weather's like in China this time of year compared to other, because Steve mentioned that as well. We need to know the Shanghai weather, or the Shanghai climate annually, I think, between now and later in the year, isn't it, when it used to be. So we need to get to the bottom of that. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? The one question we always like to ask, who is this the most important weekend for? So, DT, who is the Chinese Grand Prix weekend most important for? You can go first.
State the obvious, Hamilton, Mercedes, as a rule. Maybe Bottas, as he needs to start showing that he's not just a number two. And I think Australia, he was just number two, but you've got to give him time to settle into the team. So, yeah, those sort of three, I think, would be the main three.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much. We'll hang up on you and we'll be back with some predictions in a bit, yeah?
Sounds good.
See you in a bit.
Adios.
He likes signing off with an adios, doesn't he, Steve? Most important weekend for?
It's got to be Mercedes, really, hasn't it? You know, I mean, you know what they're like when they don't win. You know, it's
Toto Wolff will be banging the desk again.
You know, you'd think they've just lost the championship or something, wouldn't you? So it's got to be them, hasn't it? You know, they must hated it after Australia.
In the 6 minutes of highlights you saw in Australia, was some of that Toto Wolff banging his fist on the desk?
Yes, I thought that was one of the main highlights.
Doesn't say much for the track action, though, does it? Sadly, but there we go. Yeah, I think it's interesting how we're already basically not saying that it's a team that's going to excel, but it's two lead drivers in different teams that are going to excel. It's going to be Vettel and it's going to be Hamilton. And that will make things a lot more interesting than two drivers in the same team, surely.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I'm sure at some point Raikkonen and Bottas will get involved somewhere, you know. But I don't know. I've always been a bit critical of why they persevere with Raikkonen after all these seasons now. I mean, it's not, I can see why a team doesn't want to put in maybe two number one drivers, but I don't really think he's consistent enough to get a third or a second spot on a podium if they're going to win the race and things like that. But we'll see.
We had some positive vibes for Kimi Raikkonen so far this year, so we'll see if they carry on. Or you should see the expression on Steve's face now. We'll end that right here. But you can listen to all those, of course, back on the podcast player. You can catch them all on your feeds. Everyone you subscribe to, you can catch all of our editions of the NRF1 podcast, all 150 of them. It's not bad going, given we started this in 2012. So there we go. Please do get in touch with us if you would like to on social media. The handles are at the NRF1. That's for Twitter and for Facebook. And the Facebook address is fb.me/the NRF1. All the things you could possibly need, head to nrf1.uk, and there's some cracking blogs on there. A couple recent ones from Callum Springle. I recommend you giving them a read. They're well worth it. Some really good insights. And if you agree, disagree, you want to have your say on those, get in touch with us and have your say on them. If you want to get in touch, a good way to do it is by email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. On its way is our predictions podcast. We'll bring you the update on the predictions from Australia, how the land lies, how you can get involved too after before FP1 on each race weekend. And we'd love to hear your predictions over the course of the season. Lots of podcasts, as I said, on our feed, including our lovely chat, my lovely chat with former BBC Formula One presenter Jake Humphrey, who of course is still involved with F1 with Whisper Films too. And as I've mentioned before, head over to our brand new YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. There's some cracking videos there. It's a goodbye from DT. He has gone. He's hung up. I won't play the beep noise. That's how it sounded. It's goodbye from Steve. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
No worries.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for your ears. We really appreciate it. We love having you on board. And please get in touch, get involved. And we'll make this a whole big Formula One party. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The prediction phone will be with you soon. Until then, goodbye.